Welcome into Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. I'm Dr. Tim Clinton.
And I'm Dr. Zach Clinton, and together we're your hosts. Thank you for joining us.
If you enjoyed today's program and you feel called to help us equip the church to provide mental health care and to help those in need, visit our foundation at aaccfoundation.org. That's aaccfoundation.org. Hey, there you're going to find a little bit more about the impact we're having in local communities to strengthen families and individuals. We're on a mission to help equip people everywhere to improve their relationship with God and the ones they love.
We'd love for you to be a part of our family. Let's bring a message of hope and encouragement to today's generations. Your gift ensures that this program and your station remain on the air. And on today's program, my dad, Dr. Tim Clinton, and I have a great guest. So let's get started.
I'm Dr. Tim Clinton, here to let you know that today we're presenting a very special conversation that my son, Zach, co-host here, had with great ministry friend, best-selling author, Dr. John Townsend. Their conversation, it's on caring for the mental health and well-being, an important group of people, the counselors and caregivers working in the mental health field, those who are devoted to treating and improving the lives of hurting people everywhere. Let's join them now.
Today, we have another very near and dear friend to our hearts here at AACC. You may know him. Many, if not all of you, are very well acquainted to him, and Dr. John Townsend. You guys know that he is a renowned clinical psychologist. He's a leadership consultant. And on top of all of those things, he's also a bestseller of many books, many of which you probably would recognize by the name Boundaries. Dr. John Townsend, my friend, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thanks, Zach. Glad to be here.
So excited to have you, my friend. I always love gleaning from your wealth of wisdom and knowledge and experience, especially as we're having conversations, and this is geared toward people helpers, just like you and me, who we just seek to effectively care for people in a more meaningful way. And so, John, you're a man who wears many different hats. You're a husband, you're a father, you're a coach, you're a professor, you're a clinical psychologist, you're a rock and roll superstar. My friend, I just want to ask up front here, what are some incredible things that God has been revealing to you in this season of life, and what are you most excited about on the road forward?
I think something that's been kind of a recent development, very excited about, Zach, was that Forbes magazine named the Townsend Institute PhD in counseling as the number one counseling online program in the country.
Wow.
Which we were not ready for. And so that's helped us to kind of gear up for the people that got interested. And last week, no, week before last, we actually had, I was part of it, our first person getting their PhD defended their dissertation. And it was just kind of a magical moment, magical milestone. We were all real emotional about how God wants to have Christians out there at the top of their game, at the top of the research, bringing the kingdom.
Absolutely, John. Speak a little bit more about the Townsend Institute. Open their minds to the opportunities of further educational kind of responsibilities.
Yeah, and in fact, that's the word. We don't talk about education as an end in itself, Zach. The word's opportunity because it opens up ceilings. We are a program, or actually we are a school of Concordia University in Irvine, California. We're hybrid, mainly online and some residential, but a person can get a certificate, a master's, or a PhD in counseling, or they can get a certificate or master's in leadership, or one in coaching.
Well, we're grateful for you and just your efforts, not only in preparing individuals to step into this field, profession, and space, but also providing opportunity for individuals in the road forward. You know, in one of your most recent books, you have so many, but one of them that I've interviewed you on before, titled People Fuel, Fill Your Tank for Life, Love, and Leadership, it contains an incredible quote that I want to start out with today. It says, just as good nutrition is necessary for a healthy body and physical energy, so the right kinds of relationships are critical to living a successful and confident life. And as I read that, one word really stood out to me, and it was right, the right kind of relationships. I believe that it's so easy for us to find ourselves surrounded, but are we supported and are we being sharpened by those that we surround ourselves with? So John, speak to the importance of not just having people, but having the right people in your life and in your corner moving forward.
Yeah, I'm really glad you bring that up, Zach, because in the counseling helping professions, we're a little bit vulnerable because of our compassion. There's kind of a double-edged sword there. And I know that you're very, very interested in your developing models and attachment as well. But when you're a compassionate person, empathic person, sometimes you tend to be drawn toward, you know, I guess people that would be more on the drain end of life than the gain end of life. Now, we're going to always have people that are, you know, suffering around us. I mean, that's Jesus said, the poor you'll have is with you. That's who we're called to. But in your personal life, sometimes it bleeds over into you end up caretaking your friends, caretaking your associates, being the kind of the counselor for all of your friends. And I've just supervised too many therapists that are burnt out, and pastors too, they get burnt out because they don't kind of know where to draw the line for those people that would be able to give them something inside to give them encouragement and energy. They can't draw the line, so they end up being really, really depressed and burnt out.
As you mentioned, the difference between energy gainers or energy drainers. I think for us, like you said, we do everything out of a spirit of love because we care so much, and especially being faith-based, right? That's what Christ did. But a lot of us struggle when it comes to boundaries. But before we get into the boundary space, I want to ask, what are some of the things that we can be looking for in terms of the differences between those who give us energy and those who take those things away and kind of suck it out of every room that we walk into?
Yeah, and people feel, I've got a model of how to know that. And also in Henry McLeod, my book, Safe People. I have a little checklist because people kind of don't know sometimes. Number one, are they full of grace towards you? Do they, when you mess up, you screw up and you are vulnerable with them, they may disagree with you, but do they stay away from any judgment? Second thing, do they also tell you the truth? Truth that we need to hear sometimes because it can be uncomfortable. They may save our whole life and our marriage and our career. The third is that, are they vulnerable? Are they open to what they're dealing with, so it's not just a one-way street? The fourth is, are they for you? Like when you have lunch with them, I'll give you something very practical about this, Zach. When you have lunch about it, and I have so many therapist friends of mine, is it 90% about their struggles and 10% about you, or is it kind of 50-50? Now, everybody has these struggle times. I've certainly bent my friends' ears when I've had to vent about stuff and it was 90% my lunch. But over a period of a few months, is it kind of average? Well, how about you and what are you struggling with? Because if it always tends to be about them, it's not always their fault. Sometimes there's maybe a narcissistic issue, but sometimes it's because their needs are too great just for you and you have to help them get other sources, so because otherwise they'll hijack the relationship and you won't do anybody any good. So, but just watch the ratio of time spent in the contact with them. It'll be informative, I think.
You know, I appreciate just all of the work that you have done in this space and how you mentioned that sometimes we as people helpers struggle the most when it comes to things such as boundaries and when it comes to things such as, you know, having people around us that really suck the energy out of us. We're constantly giving, but oftentimes we neglect the receiving end of things. I know in my own personal life, I've always been a yes man. I've shared that with you before, where I'll take the late phone call at night, right? And sometimes my ministry has become my greatest source of misery because I've then lacked priorities in my own life when it comes to those that I love, really in a sense forsaking my Jerusalem, my family, my home, to reach the Judeas, the Samarias, the uttermost parts of the earth, and trying to come alongside of an always help, almost having that Messiah complex that I can help all of these people, when in reality, some people in some weight just isn't ours to carry. Sometimes we have to give those things over to God. So John, as we talk about boundaries, you are very big on speaking on three reasons why we sometimes struggle with implementing healthy boundaries, right? One being the loss of the relationship altogether, like that fear that you lose someone or abandonment. Number two being the fear of being a recipient of somebody's anger, but number three, being that feeling of guilt. Could you speak into all three of these reasons and why they are barriers to healthy boundaries in our lives?
Absolutely. That's kind of key, Zach, because if you identify the one that you struggle with the most, the dominant one, and then you go through the skills you need, you'll find yourself, and here's the word, in freedom. Wouldn't that be nice? Not to feel guilty and obligated and afraid, but free to say yes and to say no with the time and energy God's given you. So it's a very important question you're asking. Okay, let's start with the first one. The fear of loss of relationship. Sometimes, this may be stuff in your developmental years when you were a child, mom or dad or pastor or coach or teacher or whatever, where you learned that if I say no to this person, they won't get mad, they'll check out. They'll get emotionally unavailable. They won't like leave and move somewhere, but you'll find out they're disconnected. This happens in so many marriages where somebody feels controlled by somebody else's passive withdrawal. And what you have to do with that is you've got to make sure you have several really key people on your life team so that if one person abandons you, you're not all by yourself. You can go to somebody else, three, four, maybe probably not more than seven people that know it all and go, so-and-so won't talk to me, and they're mad, and I'm kind of feeling canceled, and I'm alone. And they go, you're alone with them, but you're not with me. You've got to make sure you have a multiplicity of people. That's the solution. The second one, fear of someone's anger. And you know, we all know how conflict phobic and conflict avoidant we therapists can be because we're more lovers, right? That can really control you, especially when you need to let somebody down, confront someone, disappoint someone, redirect someone, and tell them the truth because, as you know, growth is about grace and truth. That's what the Bible says. And so many of us are afraid if somebody escalates or gets mad, or, you know, starts to, you know, you see their face get red and all that sort of thing, you think, uh-oh, what do I do now? And so we avoid that. We need to do this differently and take kind of charge of the conversation. I wrote a book called How to Have That Difficult Conversation You've Been Avoiding. Now, the third one is the one, now let me just be a little bit vulnerable here. Of all those three you mentioned, Zach, that's the one I've struggled with most. I mean, I got a lot of friends and I've, confrontation's not been a big deal. But the guilt idea that might, saying the truth is going to harm someone that I care about and disillusion them and discourage them. Man, I don't want to be that with my friends or my clients or my employees. And so there are two little tools you can use if you tend to get not set boundaries because you feel guilty and don't want to harm people. Number one, begin to distinguish the word hurt from the word harm. They are not the same thing, and this will free you up. And when you hurt somebody, you make them uncomfortable. When you harm somebody, you damage. So look at it, if you're going to do an alliterative, one's about, it's distressful, one's about damage. You never want to damage anybody, but look at all of the biblical views of hurting someone. The second thing is a word called fragilizing. And fragilizing, as you know, is a word in our culture as therapists. It's very, very helpful. It's when you take someone who you're afraid is going to break. And to fragilize someone is to project onto them a brittleness they don't have. Now, there are fragile people. Goodness gracious, we've all done hospital internships when we were in training. There are people who need to be in straitjackets. They're suicidal. They can't function. They're psychotic. They need meds. They need you know, seclusion for a while. I mean, there are fragile people, but they are not the minority of people. And there's a very different, and make a difference in your head between a truly fragile person who could become psychotic or suicidal or homicidal. And that's a different animal. But a lot of people are what you would call upset and resilient.
I tell you what, those are really good points. And I like that upset and resilient piece. I've done a lot of work around the topic and phrase of resilience. Although no concrete definition, the common theme is positive adaptation in the presence of adversity. And like you said, sometimes when we step away and remove ourselves and we reshape our perspective, we're able then to more meaningfully engage and step into those moments and have, you know, better conversations. And also I heard what I was kind of taking away with from that is confrontation doesn't always have to be a bad thing. Confrontation can ultimately lead to further connection. It can be used for good, but being able to see it in that light as well. You know, John, as I'm thinking here, a lot of the clients that we have the opportunity of sitting across from or people that we're in coaching relationships with, whatever that looks like, a lot of them come in with what you've identified and even communicated to me with as poor or toxic relationship templates, being able to help them understand that maybe they've developed, in a sense, negative patterns over time. They've found themselves constantly in the environment of toxic people, and so they don't really know what healthy relationship even looks like. How can we as people helpers begin to approach those types of conversations and helping them rewire or reframe their relational template moving forward?
Yeah, sometimes I'll have to tell somebody, you know, Sam, your people picker is poop. it's just not good. It's not a good radar right here. And there are various reasons people, you know, do that. And the first thing is to help them identify that they have some sense of responsibility. We're not guiltifying anybody, but just to say, if one person's crazy in your life, well, that's just it. If most of the people in your life are toxic and crazy, you kind of got to look at what you might be drawn to. And the best way to handle that is to, I take them up a level of intensity and of specificity of who they need to establish relationships with. And it might be, You know, like I take people through, I have seven characteristics of people and people feel to look for, like good character, good chemistry, the good values, they can listen, all this stuff. There's these seven things. And some people go, yeah, you know, I've ignored my relationship with my healthy friend in my church or somebody's a neighbor. Why have I done that? Because I'm trying to fix some crazy person, generally speaking. I'm trying to fix some person that I have no power to fix and put energy into that. But why am I not spending time with, I feel so better with that person. I feel closer to myself and I know myself better. I know God better. So they redirect their energy because they just found in their current sphere people like that. Now, people that have more severe problems, they have to go out of their sphere and they've got to find somebody who they don't know and introduce a new relationship. And that's actually, I think that's what a healthy church is about. That's where small groups and discipleship and encouraging and just being around people that are, you know, they love the Lord and they also love you and they'll listen. They can be vulnerable. But there are sometimes in more severe situations, that's what you are. You say, I think it's time to see a professional counselor because that person is the person that will model the characteristics you're looking for. And you and I would know this, Zach, but in our world, we call it internalization. And with internalization, most of the work of great therapy is internalization, where a person comes away and says, I forgot what they said this week, but I know a little about more about who is a good person because they modeled it. It's what Jesus did. He modeled it so much, and they take it in from a good therapist. Like when I train therapists, I tell them, you are the delivery system for God's grace and truth. The way you act and behave and confront and all this, of course it's your words, of course it's your interpretations, but also it's who you are in that room that they take in and form that new and healthy template. So you can't overestimate the power of anything from better picking friends to be ignored to go to a professional therapist.
That's so good. It's our responsibility and our duty to model that healthy template. As Dad always says, you've heard him say it, that God has no greater joy than using people like you and me as conduits through which he channels those messages of hope and encouragement to a dark and hurting world, especially people who may be struggling with, you know, toxic decision-making or toxic relationships. We get that opportunity to model those things. But I want to ask this question because there might be a counselor, there might be a coach out there who's struggling with this idea of, you know, when it comes to boundaries and when it comes to confrontation and different things like that, being faith-based, being a Christ follower, we always hear the concepts of grace and forgiveness, and we also hear this concept of hope, right? We hope that things will change. I think a lot of us, in a sense, are hoping things would change, but living in denial of the way that things are and the trajectory that things are continuing to be on. And so we move from this, and you've talked a lot about this, loving someone to enabling someone. Is there ever a time, John, and what does the time look like to take off our shoes, dust off our feet, and draw the line in the sand as Christ did and even spoke about and move on and knowing that, you know what, hope is still possible for that person, but in this season of my life, it's more toxic to be in this relationship to help this individual than it is to, in a sense, walk away for the good and now.
Yeah. And I want to speak to all our friends that are coaches out there as well as the counselors on this one, because I think that since coaches are very positive people, and I mean, that's why I love coaches, because they're always looking at the future and the vision and like you know, take the hill. And so sometimes they tend to kind of ignore unconsciously some things going on. So whether you're a coach or a counselor, but just think about it this way, is we first have to understand when we have the wrong people in our life, there's something to be afraid of that we're going to lose. And realize that there may be a thing called defensive hope. Now, we write about that in our book, Safe People. And defensive hope is when you hope somebody will change, you know, get their act together, fix their marriage, fix their kid, fix their attitude, fix their, you know, can't keep a job or whatever they're doing. There's a healthy biblical hope. You know, we know God's going to win in the end. That's our hope. He is our hope. But then there's defensive hope, which says, I have no reason in the patterns I'm seeing, in the history I'm seeing with this person, whether it's 5 years or 2 months, I have no reason to think anything's going to change in their attitude or behavior. That's defensive hope. That's because you don't want to see the lost, and I can't blame you.
Absolutely. And I appreciate what you had to say about Deciphering the difference between defensive hope and biblical hope, you know, you have really been influential in my life in terms of helping me set boundaries, just in even conversations that we've had in the past, whether it be in interviews, whether it be in me reading your books. But I remember one time you made a statement to me where you said, you can assess the health of the relationship by how the individual responds when you say no to them. That has not made me go out and put up my barriers and walls and intentionally saying no to people and to see how they'll respond. But it has made me more aware in situations where I unfortunately have to say no. Maybe it's like, hey, you know what? I'm spending time with Evelyn, or I already had plans and different things like that, and I have to say no. Being able to just have that at the forefront of my mind of, hey, you know what? I had to say no. I want to see how this person responds. It's been able to help me assess, like, okay, these are people who are gainers. These are people who are drainers. And then deciphering the two different types of drainers, like you said. So I appreciate you and all of your work around this topic. But for all of our members, for all of our leaders that are tuning in, watching and listening, where can they go to find out more about you and even more about the Townsend Institute and even purchase maybe several of your books?
The simple, Zach, is go to drtownsend.com. It's all there. We've got the Institute and who we are and who our fellows are and who's teaching and what our coursework is. We also have the Townsend Leadership Program where we help people to coach better and be better leaders. The books that are there, the interviews and that sort of thing. So it's kind of a one-stop place. That's all there.
Be sure to go to drtownsend.com. John, my friend, thank you so much for your time. Thank you for joining us, and thank you for the incredible work that you do, and I know that you will continue to do in our space and our profession. You're a pioneering leader. I love and appreciate you from all of us here at the AACC. Thank you for joining us today.
Thanks.
Thanks for listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. If you enjoyed today's broadcast and want to help equip the church to provide Christian mental health care, visit AACCFoundation.org. Your donation ensures this program and your station stay on the air. On behalf of our co-hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, this is Jim Kress. We look forward to having you with us again next time. May God bless you.
This is Dr. Shawnee Anderson, and I'm a licensed clinical psychologist who's been in practice for over 30 years. In my clinical experience, one of the hardest parts for someone struggling with their mental health is the very first step, the just reaching out for help part. I understand that asking for help is hard, but finding that help shouldn't be. At Christian Care Connect, the mission is to make it easier to find a Christian clinician or coach who is compatible with you, someone you feel comfortable with, who shares your faith and values. Whether you're walking through grief, battling anxiety or depression, or facing any other of life's challenges, excellent mental health care providers are here to come alongside you with support that is both clinically excellent and distinctly Christian. If you or someone you know is looking for help and healing, we invite you to take that next step today. Go to ChristianCareConnect.com to find a provider within 100 miles of you. For further support or questions, you can email us at contact@ChristianCareConnect.com. A new way to start your journey to wellness and peace of mind.
I'm Dr. Tim Clinton with the American Association of Christian Counselors with your Mental Health Minute. Everyone experiences trouble in life. We all face seasons of sorrow, grief, relational pain, and more. In fact, studies show now that 20 to 25% of people experience a diagnosable mental disorder in their lifetime. Sadly, the church has too often remained silent about mental illness. The silence creates stigma and shame, and it adds to the suffering. But there's good news. Mental health professionals now offer more effective care than they ever have before. And when Christian counselors integrate emotional, relational, and mental health anchored in God's word and spiritual wisdom, people are finding real help, hope, and healing. You know, we're all broken in some way. Let's care for one another in the most loving, effective ways possible, because the Lord, He's in the midst of it. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted. This has been your Mental Health Minute. I'm Dr. Tim Clinton, President of the American Association of Christian Counselors and co-host of Life, Love, Faith, and Family. To learn more, go to AACC.net.
Don't miss the 2026 AACC Faith and Flourishing Mega National Conference, with a special emphasis on neuroscience and brain health. Coming to the Lowe's Arlington Hotel in Arlington, Texas, in September 2026. Featuring world-leading and dynamic experts like Daniel Amen, George Barna, Jack Graham, Sungyung Tan, Sharon May, Kurt Thompson, Jennifer Ehlers, Shawnee Anderson, Zach Clinton, Tim Clinton, and more. Join counselors, psychologists, marriage and family therapists, pastors, ministry leaders, and coaches from around the world. Register now for the best savings at nationalaacc.com. That's nationalaacc.com. The 2026 AACC Faith and Flourishing Mega National Conference.
Do people ever come to you asking for help? Maybe hope? How about prayer? Do you ever wish you understood the issues better that people are wrestling with? Or how about how to use the Bible more effectively in caring for people? If so, I'd love to get a copy of our Care and Counsel Bible in your hands, featuring 116 topics written by some of the world's best mental health and ministry experts. I think you'll love it. Topics like discouragement, abuse, depression, divorce, anxiety, abortion, and more. So you can learn more about these issues and how to use the Bible more effectively, how to share passages of Scripture with others, maybe even yourself, as you're sitting down over a cup of coffee. You know what I love most about this Bible is that it's so easy to use. You can find right up front an index with subjects, key passages of Scripture, personality profiles, and so much more to go to. So you can use the Bible more effectively in caring for other people. The Care and Counsel Bible right now is retailing for $85. We're going to make it available to you for just $49.99 plus shipping. I think you're going to love it. Hey, for more information about how you can get this Bible right now, go to careandcounsel.com. That's careandcounsel.com.